the Exphoria Code, written by Anthony Johnston and read by Yolanda Kettle.
Chapter 1. He wasn't really a mole. Not technically, and that's how he justified it to himself. Of course, he didn't have any real choice in the matter. Not if he wanted to keep his job, his career, his pension, his family, his life. And what would his wife say if she knew? If she knew where the money to buy their new car, her new clothes, their evenings in fine restaurants came from? The same money that had landed him in this current mess. What he was doing was definitely espionage. He couldn't talk his way around that. But he wasn't actually working for the Russians. Not in the sense that people meant when they said, "There's a mole in MI6," in those classic stories of British public schoolboys growing up to betray their country. He didn't work for an intelligence agency. Just another government man punching his card and collecting his salary. The only difference between him and anyone else on the project was that he was here, driving up a dark, tree-lined road in the middle of nowhere an hour before midnight, with a Toshiba SD card in his wallet. An SD card holding what were, technically, state secrets. He wasn't even getting paid for them. He'd already been paid for the other thing, and that had gone about as badly as it could have. So now he owed them. It was only fair, the Russian had said when approaching him months ago, that he repay his debt. He couldn't, of course. The money was spent. But the Russian expected that, anticipated it. People spend money when they have it. So the Russian would accept something else instead. It wouldn't cost him a penny. But it had cost him more than enough sleepless nights. Tonight, he thought, tonight would be the last one. It had to be, didn't it? When the Russian first approached him, he'd asked if they could do the handovers at a cafe. Since coming here to work on the project, he'd adopted a place in town as his regular lunchtime haunt. The sort of place guidebooks and low-budget travel programs would prefix with charming little, gushing about local flavour and authenticity, oblivious to how being invaded by people from out of town, people like him, would chip away at that very same authenticity, until all that remained was a place where tourists went to take selfies and feel pleased with themselves for finding somewhere so off the beaten path. He just liked their tea. The Russian had called him a stupid amateur and insisted they meet at a secluded car park atop a wooded hill just outside town instead. He'd noticed on previous visits there was no cellular signal up here. Perhaps that had something to do with it. He pulled into the car park, stopped the car, and turned off the headlights. There were no street lamps out here, and the sudden darkness left him momentarily blind as his eyes adjusted to it. A sharp rapping on the driver's window made him cry out in surprise. He couldn't see, but as he opened the door, he smelled familiar sour notes of alcohol and cheap German cigarettes, and knew it was the Russian. Who else would it be anyway? Nobody knew he came here for these meetings. Nobody followed him. For the duration of the project, he was living alone, in an apartment on the edge of town, and on the Russian's advice had removed the complimentary GPS unit in his long-term rental car. On the way here tonight, there had been one car that seemed to follow him from somewhere in town. He didn't notice it until they were on the outskirts, but it had definitely been there for some time, until the car turned off before they crossed the river, going in a completely different direction. After that, he'd checked the rearview mirror every 10 seconds for the rest of the journey, but saw nothing.
"Good evening, comrade," said the Russian,
his accent as thick as the smoke he blew into the cool, dark air.
"The stars are very fine tonight."
He was right. This far from town, the lack of light pollution meant you could see almost every star in the sky right at the horizon. He shook his head all the same.
"Comrade, you do know the Soviet Union hasn't existed for decades.